Don't talk to me then. I was wondering if you could hear.
Yes, I may wait, then.
Marshals here?
Yes.
There's several servants here who are quite new to it.
Good.
As a matter of fact, I'm rather hoping that we might be able to bring some of them through to you. But it may be difficult here. May take several sittings, but nevertheless we shall see. I know how interested you are in making contact with certain entities and selves from this side who can be of interest to people on your side, and the subject matter which they could discuss would be of great value. But as I've already said, a number of them are quite new to communication, and probably will find it very difficult at first. May need several attempts. I doubt if they'll necessarily succeed on the first go. Anyway, we'll see what we can do.
Thank you.
Just be patient, we say, until I hope we shan't be long.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dr. Marshall.
Doing.
That is.
I remember you quite well.
Yes, but I.
Yes.
No. Life is much more than it appears on the surface. I have discovered only too well that the only important thing is to do God's work.
Yes. Yes.
Sometimes we do not always see the opportunity that lies at our very doorstep. Often a man or woman will go far afield, and yet if only he could perceive it, the opportunity is within himself and right beside him. In my life, I, of course, within certain limits, was able to do a certain amount for the good of the world. But I realize that if one is to serve humanity, if one is to do the work that will bring about peace, bring about tranquility of spirit and harmony between nations and peoples, we must, above all things, look internationally rather than nationally. The days have gone when one can put oneself or one's own country first. I have come to the conclusion that we must have an international spirit. We must break down the barriers that stand between peoples and nations. We must remember now that science has brought together all the peoples as if it were that they were under one roof. There's no distance anymore. Man is living almost, you might say, upon each other's doorstep. You can no longer afford to have these barriers that man has built up through centuries of time. We must learn how to live together in peace, realizing the consequences of war, realizing that now there is no escape for anyone. Therefore, those ideas of the past, when we felt that we could live securely, as it were, in our fortress island, those days have gone forever. There are no barriers now. There is no wall of protection. The sea no longer protects. In other words, man has advanced scientifically to such a degree that he has made life very difficult. And since there is so much fear in the world, one must find the way to eradicate it. One must have faith and trust. And one must see the nations of the world united in harmony and in peace. The realizing of the consequences of war in itself, you would have thought would have been sufficient to have prevented any nation or nations thinking along the old lines. And yet there are still those in your world who have not learned the lessons. Wars beget wars, hatred begets hatred, intolerance begets intolerance. We must find the solution to these things. We must try to make man everywhere conscious of his inheritance, the inheritance which is by nature his very own, that you are all the children of a living God, and that there are no barriers, that you are all one, irrespective of class or creed or color or language. No longer
can one think in the terms of empires? Today you must think in the terms of harmony among all peoples,
yes,
among all nations. In fact, seems to me that you must now consider yourself a member of every nation, of every race. No longer can you say that you are this or that you are that. There are no barriers left. Only what man in ignorance and foolishness makes within himself. You have now a great opportunity, a wonderful opportunity, to form a new conception of life, a new way of life. I feel sure that this fear that rests so strongly upon the nations will give way to something which will be very wonderful. I feel within myself that this realization that war is now impossible, for if it were to be, it would be the destruction of all that you know and cherish. I think that this realization of power, atomic power, will in the end bring all men together, and fear will be eradicated, and love and harmony will prevail. Of course, there are many difficulties, but they can be overcome. We would like to see a universal language. If that could be brought into being, it would be a tremendous step in the right direction. I do hope that can be tried or brought into being.
Could you tell us something of your what you're doing over on the other side, your life, now?
My life here has been one of constant change. And by that I mean that as I have gained knowledge and experience, so I have found myself in consequence in different environments according to my progression. And during that period of time which I have been here, I have seen many aspects of life, many changes, many people who have in themselves been responsible for much of my education, much of my experience and development. One goes through various phases, various spheres, according to one's development when one has left Earth. Fortunately, although I had no knowledge and accepted sense of life after death, I had a great inner consciousness, great inner realization that life did continue. And when I came here, it was not as if I were in a life that was so strange as perhaps it might have been to some. To me, it was not unfamiliar. And I realized, too, that during my so-called sleep state when on Earth, I had oft-times traveled into the realm of spirit and had, as it were, foreseen many of the peoples and places which I should eventually meet and inhabit in consequence of the transition called death.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen many great souls, many whom I knew were on Earth, many who had passed before me, and they often have been of great help to me in guiding me and taking me to various spheres and various places. I have gone through many schools or conditions of education. I have learned many things, and I now am able to teach. And I have, for some considerable time, as you term time, visited lower spheres to teach those who are less fortunate, to give them an insight into the way of life, that they might develop themselves and lift themselves out of the darkness in which they exist, the darkness of their own minds, and thereby see and know of that which is further afield, and yet can be, if they so wish, very near. For everything here is a matter of degree, a matter of development of mind and of spirit, and the realization that comes that one can progress, and that the way to progress is through learning and experiencing and putting into practice the things that you have gained in knowledge. I have done a great deal, I feel, in that direction, and I have been able to assist many earthbound souls and many who were, as it were, on lower spheres here, undeveloped and unprogressed. But among those that I have found most difficult have been those who seem to have clung desperately to old religious beliefs, those who have, as it were, had very fixed ideas. They, to me, are the most difficult people to deal with. Those whose minds are more open, more receptive, are much easier, obviously, to help and to give knowledge to and develop. But those whose minds are closed, those who have a very strong, narrow conception of religion particularly, I have found most difficult. In fact, it is very extraordinary, the attitude that some of these souls adopt. There are, for instance, large numbers of groups of souls entirely within their own mind, in which they consider that they are the only ones who exist on this sphere of life or phase of existence. Mm. In other words, they are waiting for the great resurrection day when they shall return to earth and inherit the kingdom of God upon earth. They have this narrow conception that they are in a condition of life or suspension of time in which, until which time they will be formed upon earth in their physical bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Very difficult to make them change their outlook and idea and way of life. I would not say that they are unhappy, but they are living in such a restricted, narrow, confined space and condition of mind that we have great difficulty in having any effect or enriching them.
Mm.
In fact, they, to my way of thinking, are the most difficult.
Mm. May I ask you another question?
Yes, of course.
Can you tell us, actually, when you passed over, where you found yourself? In what, I was going to say, not exactly country, but how you found yourself?
I remember very vividly awakening in a room which was very reminiscent of a room that I'd been very fond of many years previously in my earthly existence. In every way, it seemed to be an exact replica. The colorings, the materials, the furnishings. In fact, everything about it was a perfect reproduction. In fact, so much so that I did not realize at first that I'd passed on at all. And I remember only too well the very beautiful view from the window, with the beautiful green grass, lawns and the terraces, and at the bottom, far in the distance, the river. It was a spot which I had been most fond of. And in this room on my awakening were many of my relations and friends that I had known. It was almost like a kind of reception, which of course it was. And I must admit, it was a great joy to me to meet all these friends and all these souls that had meant so much to me in my earthly life, and to have the feeling of peace and the realization that it was an environment in the very room in which I was most happy. It was a room that had given me great joy and pleasure many, many years previously. In fact, I have now realized only too well that I was most fortunate in my passing, that I should have been so blessed. And I've oft times turned over in my mind many of the things and the happenings of earth. And I've tried so often to try to realize why I should have been most fortunate. I realize, of course, that in my own way, and in a kind of way, perhaps rather a narrow way, I endeavoured to do what I could to serve and to help. But you know, it's an extraordinary thing when one is attached, as I was, to a family that is called to service and has to take upon itself the weight and the responsibility of the crown. One is in a sense, although one is oftentimes serving, one is often in a sense doing work in a narrow field. By that what I mean is that although one may serve here and there, one may be called upon to do this or that duty, nevertheless, to some extent, you are doing things not exactly automatically, but you are doing them because partly it is your duty, which one must do. Secondly, because it is essential and important in the state sense. But often one feels that there are things that one might have done or would have liked to have done that one was not able to do. In fact, if one were to endeavor to do certain things, it would have caused friction or it would have caused comment in certain quarters. In fact, perhaps would have been resented. Often, you know, when I was visiting, or perhaps when I was staying in a certain place, certain things would be brought to my attention, and not by those around and about me in position, but by often accident, not by design. And I would be appalled at certain things that I experienced or witnessed, particularly among the poor. Poverty, something which affected me very much, and yet I felt so helpless to do so little. And in a small way I did try, but you know, particularly in my day, it was extremely difficult for a person in my position to do very much for the poor. And I was ever conscious of the poor and ever wanted to help them. And it was one of the greatest disappointments of my life that I felt that a person in my position and with what so many people considered and I suppose can be considered power could do so little, in fact nothing. And I think it was one of the greatest disappointments of my life that I could do so little for those who needed so much. Poverty worried me terribly, gave me great pain, and there was so much in my day. I was so used to the pomp and the ceremony, so used to the pleasanter, happier side of life. Everything was made, of course, pleasant and as nice as one could possibly hope. And yet I was ever conscious of the poverty and endeavored to help as far as I could, and the hospitals too. Over here, for instance, I take a great interest in mental illness, which of course is a great deal of the cause of the unhappiness of the world, your world I mean, and to a great extent our world too. For much of the trial and trouble here among those less developed is the mental condition. In fact, I would go as far as to say that a great deal of the world's troubles in illness and in other ways, it's due to the mind. Only we could reach the minds of people and change their outlook and their attitude. Only we could do that. And that, of course, is what we are constantly trying to do. We're trying to reach the minds of humanity, wherever they may be, irrespective of their condition in life, whatever their nationality. We are constantly working upon the minds of peoples, especially those in high places, who hold the destiny of nations in their hands. We are striving to instill peace, instill the things that are of God, that they might come together in the future and save the world from itself, from destruction. This I am convinced shall be done, and I feel sure that man will find a new path, a new way of life, where he can work in harmony and in love, nation with nation, peoples with peoples, and God's will can be brought into being. We are striving desperately for this, doing all in our power to help.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, my friend.
May I ask you, if you met the late king and just gone
over
and visited?
I have, of course, met all members of our family.
Yes.
And perhaps at some future time, others may be able to speak to you. I have long desired to come and speak,
well,
and I shall hope to come again I must go.
May I give a message to you for anybody from you?
I doubt if it would be received.
Well, that's the point, isn't it?
But this is all that really matters. Yes. That we continue to serve and to help.
Yes.
In a wider sense, all mankind, no longer restricted, no longer are we in any way made to conform to politic or to religion.
No.
Now we are not tied in any sense.
No.
We are free to speak and to act.
No.
Completely and absolutely as children, as we are indeed of one God, endeavoring to serve all his children the world over.
Mm-hmm.
That is freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom of spirit to work, to serve, and to love.
Yeah.
All the children of the earth,
yeah.
All the nations of the earth, we are now one great family, God's family.
Yeah.
Bless you, my
friend. Thank you
very much.
I remember you so well.
Bye-bye. Goodbye, Mickey. Thank you, Mickey.